The past few months, we have been taking the time to lay before us a view of that God would have for this church at this time. We have entitled this study, The Church in Focus. In the course of this time, in the course of the study, we have made several appeals to you in different formats. I'm going to take just a moment to remind you what we've considered so far. We first of all made the appeal that you and I would understand the goodness of our God. We took the time to cause us to remember that which God has done. And as we remember the goodness of the Lord, we are seeking to aid our walk of faith. For the Bible tells us, as we saw even this morning in Galatians 3, that we as the just are to live by faith. And as we take the time to remember what the Lord has done, we are following an exhortation that we find in the Old Testament to not remove the ancient landmarks. There were times that God set up memorials for the people of Israel to see, that they might understand what God had done as they crossed over into the Promised Land. They were to set a memorial there, that they would remember that God had brought them to that place and given them that land as a possession. So we took time to remember God's goodness as we seek to now walk and continue to live by faith as a church. We then considered together God's plan for us as we see it through the motto that we have taken the time to explain this year, that we would grow in grace, that knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that we would constantly be striving together to grow in the grace of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then as we would study the Word of God, that we would be grounded in His truth, that we would allow the Word of God to be that which guides us and directs us, that it would be the rock to which we plant ourselves, the anchor. And then we want to desire to see and understand that we as God's people are to go out into this world in the spirit of love, sharing with them the good news of the gospel. Those three things, as we considered within our motto, all of us help keep the church in focus when we keep Christ as the focus of all that we do. Christ is the focus of our growth. Christ is the focus of our grounding. And Christ is the reason that we go. We then took the time to study together the scriptural teachings concerning our mission and our ministry, that we would understand what God has called us to do and what it means to minister for Him. That led us to a discussion concerning money matters, because if there's going to be mission and ministry, there is going to be the reality that we're going to need the funds to be able to pay for that which God leads us and how He directs us. So we talked about issues of money as a church and how God provides for all of these things. And what a blessing it is that you and I are able to partner together with the Lord Jesus Christ to accomplish His mission and to do the work of the ministry. Then we spent 2 weeks breaking down our church's covenant and coming to grips with our responsibilities regarding the church and regarding one another. And then for the last 2 weeks, we've considered together how we can make the most of our ministries. We've taken the time to define our ministries, those ministries which we now have, and what the purpose of those ministries are. And then last week, we considered the priorities of our ministry. The truth that the Scripture must be a priority, that the splendor of God and His glory ought to be a priority in all of our ministry, and that the focus ought to be upon people, and we ought to be seeking to reach people all around us. So we've considered these things so far within this study. Tonight I'm going to switch gears a little bit in this study, and we're going to begin to consider what I'm going to entitle Moving Forward. Moving Forward. And tonight's message, honestly, has more of a personal appeal as we begin to take all that we have considered so far and begin to move forward with what the Lord would have for His church in the days ahead. Again, I want to remind you, as we talk about the church in focus, that the thrust of this series is on our local church. We're not talking about the church in general, the church universal. It's not that I'm not considering all the other churches that are on this island, throughout this country, and the world. But I want to be very personal concerning our church, First Baptist Church, where we are today, what God would have us do as we seek to move forward for the Lord. I'm going to ask that you now pray with me, and then we're going to take up this topic together this evening. Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight that we're able to come and gather together, that we might study together the Word of God, that we might see that truth within your Word that would help us to understand how we will move forward for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So, Father, I pray that you'd give us understanding of the passages that we consider, of the personal appeals that we will make, as we will seek to remind us of the vision of what we are doing and why. And Lord, we'll thank you and praise you for it. We come and ask and pray again your blessing in all these things. In Jesus' name, amen. Almost a year ago, the deacons and I laid before you some needs concerning our facility. We called it our capital improvement plan. Last summer, we got underway with that plan, and we took the time to go through the academy building and give it some much-needed renovations. And since that time, and since those renovations were done, I can be honest with you and say that I have heard really nothing but positive remarks about that work and the need for that work and the blessing for that work, and I'm thankful for that. I really believe that God directed us. I believe we followed Him. And because of that, we have been blessed, and so have many others. In fact, just this last week, I was meeting with a family outside of our church. They were in my office, and Mr. Pickett was there with me, and they commented to some of those very same things. And I'm thankful for that. And they were appreciative of the good things that are being done, and they're thankful for what they see. And I think it's important that we understand what it is we're doing and, again, why. It's been a while since we have taken the time to talk about our CIP program. In fact, we really haven't said much since the first project kind of came to a close and we gave an update. And there's been several reasons why we haven't done that, although I'm not going to get into those with you tonight. But I do think it's time for us to consider some of these thoughts again, because I do believe, and I think there is many of you who would say the same, and some who are asking the question, well, Pastor, what are we doing next? When are we going to do something else? And so the reality is, I think it's important that we begin to understand what we believe to be important and the reasons that we are doing what we are doing. So I want to remind you tonight of the reason for the need. Why do we have a CIP program? Why is it that we believe there are things that need to be done to our facility? And why is that so important? Tonight I want to begin, if we could, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 for just a few moments. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. We stated at the outset of this process that there were two main scriptural principles that really led us to present the need for capital improvements within our ministry. And the first comes really from 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 31. It's a verse that we are fairly familiar with. There we read, "Whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God." In everything that you and I endeavor to do, individually, as families, and as a church, within each of our ministries and within our ministry as our whole, as we considered last week, we ought to be concerned for God's splendor, for His glory. And one of the principles behind us moving forward with a capital improvement plan is because we believe that all things need to be done for the glory of our God. We believe that every ministry ought to be for His glory. We have discussed the meaning of that phrase often. We understand that to glorify God means to raise the opinion of God in the eyes of others.
the way in which you live, the way in which I live, the way in which we as a church conduct our ministries ought to be raising the opinion of God in the eyes of those who look on. And as you understand, we live in a world today that the opinion of God is rather low. Very few people have a high view of God. I think she won't mind if I share this with you because I think it proves the point. Brenda shared with me tonight that she went to her funeral of her co-worker's wife who passed away. One of the ladies was asked, one of the friends, to pick out a scripture passage that she would be able to read at the funeral. Her comment was, I look through the Bible and I really don't see anything worthwhile or comforting in it, so she just kind of skipped it. That's really what the world views, or how the world views God and how he views his word. There's very little value to them, to the word of God, and very little thought of who God is. And we are to be conducting ourselves in such a way that we are raising the opinion of God to those who look on. We ought to be doing all things to his glory. Through our facilities, which, by the way, house our ministries and make our mission possible, through our ministries, which seek to reach people first, we ought to desire to bring glory to God. I want you to understand this thought with me. Our facilities are the Lord's. And as such, they ought to represent well or fairly God himself and his glory. Our ministries are the Lord's. They're not ours. You and I do not own First Baptist Church. We are privileged to partner with God to accomplish his work of ministry. I'll remind you, it is his mission. It is his ministry. You are his people. And all that we see belongs to him. And as such, they ought to fairly represent God, and they ought to fairly represent his glory. That means this, that our facilities should not distract in any way, either through ornateness or outdatedness. Our facilities ought to provide a place that people could come and worship the Lord and focus solely on him. Through the buildings and through this place that God has given us, we want them to be used to bring glory to God and him alone. Not to man, not to us, but to the Lord Jesus Christ. And when folks come in, we want them to be able to come to a place that Jesus Christ can be known and seen and learned of and accepted. And I don't want our place to be in any way, shape, or form that which would distract or take away from the very glory of God. The second passage that we considered was 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 40. There we read those words which you are familiar with. Let all things be done decently and in order. You have heard me reference this verse many times, and I think it's an important principle within the church. All things ought to be done decently and in order. As we develop our church's ministries and the various aspects of those ministries within our church, we want to do all things well. My expectation is that every ministry is run decently, and every ministry is run according to order, no matter what ministry that might be. No matter how insignificant that might seem to be to some. I think our nursery ought to be run decently and in order. And I think the facility for our nursery ought to be one of decency and order. I think our Sunday school ministry ought to be done decently and in order. That's why we ask teachers to be there on time, actually to be early, so they can meet and greet with their students, to end on time, and all of those things which are important. I really believe that our services ought to run decently and in order. They shouldn't be chaotic, but they should be able to flow simply, and that we can come and worship. I think our Christian school ought to be done all things decently and in order. Our staff is given that challenge to do all things well. The same within our youth group and our master clubs. That all things be done decently and in order. Our choir ministry and those who sing in special music. If we make commitments to those things, we ought to follow them. Because we want to do all things well. We want to do all things wholeheartedly as unto the Lord. But folks, that not only includes our part, but it also includes the facilities that God has given. We ought to do all things in the spirit of excellence, again, that glory might be given unto God. Part of developing our ministry and doing our ministries well really does revolve around keeping up our facility that the Lord has given to us. I want to remind you tonight of this thought. The facility is God's gift to us, and you and I ought to take great care of it. I realize that for many of you, you gave of your time, and you gave of your treasures to see this facility constructed and to see it maintained over the years. But the facility is God's. And we have a responsibility to take care of that which God has entrusted to us. That's called stewardship. And we ought to be good stewards of all that God has given. And we ought to take good care of that which He has given, that we might use it for His glory. Let me ask you a question tonight. Which is more valuable to you? Is your home more valuable than the Lord's house? Answer that question honestly tonight. Which is of greater value to you? The home in which you live, or the house of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Would you allow your home to sit in disrepair for long? Now, I realize if you own a home that there are some times you have to wait because money has to come in first. But let's face it. You know what needs to be done. You have a plan for how you're going to accomplish those things because you want to take care of your home. Would you allow your home or the rooms within your home to go unpainted for years on end? You say, well, I really don't care about those kind of things. Well, most people do. Because we do tend to want to keep up our homes and take good care of them because to us, they are valuable and they should be. Would you refuse to modernize your home? Or do you keep up your home in order to increase its resale value? You say, Pastor, do you plan to increase the resale value of the church? Well, who knows? But the reality is this. We take care of our homes. We do the things which are important to us because we love our homes. And we wouldn't dare think about not putting the time or the effort or the money into our homes because it's valuable to us. Should we not expect to give any less to the Lord's house? Why do we think that it's right for us to value our home, but to devalue God's home? Because, folks, this is the Lord's house. This is His place. He has given it to us. By the way, if the Lord Jesus Christ tarries,
You and I will pass from the scene here, and First Baptist Church, by His grace, will continue. Most of you, or many of you, in fact, I don't know of any of you here tonight, if my memory serves me right, were there when the church first began. You came along and part of the way, and you've been here for quite some time. But there was a whole group of people that founded First Baptist Church, and a whole group of people that did much work in service and labor for the Lord before you and I ever showed up. And if Jesus Christ will tarry, you and I will be long and gone from the scenes. Our names will be forgotten, but the work of the Lord is to continue. And this is His house, and this is His place. We ought to take care of it. If we're going to do all things decently and in order, that means that we take care of that which God has given to us for His own glory. By the way, to do anything less would cause you and I to fall under the same commendation that God brought to the Jews when Haggai declared God's displeasure because His house lied waste while they lived in their sealed houses. And folks, the part that we need to remember is those were the people that had come back from captivity. They had re-entered the land. And their first priority when they came home was not to rebuild the house of God, but to rebuild their homes. And Haggai would share God's displeasure and say, you know, it is time for you to rise and build the house of the Lord, for it lies in ruin and waste while you live in the comfort of your own home. And folks, God has a right to be displeased when we allow that which is His to fall apart while we care only for that which is ours. So with those two things in mind, we have put together a plan for our facilities that we might begin to again bring them up to par to do some much needed work and renovations in order that He might be glorified, that our church might be able to reach more people with the gospel of grace. So I want to talk to you tonight next about the reality of the need. There is a need. We have done but a part of what is needed. And there is still more that needs to be done. So in the time remaining tonight, I want to share with you what I believe should be the next step in this process as we continue to move forward, and not just with our CIP plan, but also as our ministries as a whole. The second stage of this project are going to revolve around taking care of some of the needs within this building, primarily downstairs, and one obvious need that is outside to our facility. So I want to begin tonight by allowing you to see the big picture, and then we're going to take the time and begin to break it down a little bit so that you have some more information about what needs to be done. There is one very obvious need that we as a church have to address. And you should see it each week as you come into our facility. As you pull into the parking lot, it is a glaring need. Now, you may have gone by it enough now because it happened a while ago that you may not even see it any longer. So let me remind you of the one obvious need. And that one obvious need is that there is a need to replace the siding on the gym and the school building. You can see there that part of the siding has blown off. And the siding that is on those buildings is, well, gone. It needs to go. It's blown off before. We have tacked it on. We have nailed it in. And now other parts are coming off. And there are other parts up there that are broken. And there's a need for that to be repaired in order that our building not suffer any damage. So there's a need for us to address and look in the big picture of seeing that siding replaced so that we can take care of the facility that God has given to us. But there are some other needs as well that we have discussed and we have talked about and I believe are important and need to be considered even within our own facility right here. I want to address a couple of those tonight. First of all, I think it's time that we consider the moving of our nursery. Now, we have talked about this about this process about a year ago, and we mentioned that there was a need to move our nursery. Now, anyone who has worked in our nursery understands that the space that we have, quite honestly, is inadequate. Especially when we get any visitors in and there are extra children. Two or three children in that facility, it's not too bad. But five and six and seven, and you quickly find that the space that we have is very inadequate. It is cramped, and to be honest with you, it's just too close to the auditorium, and it really becomes a distraction to those in our services. Now, some of you would say, well, I don't really think it's a distraction. We've gotten used to it. Here's the problem. I stand here, and I get to watch all of you week to week. And I can up here over my voice going over that system, and I hear it coming through that loud and clear. I can hear them like I just heard now. Okay? If I can hear it, you can hear it. You know what happens when it gets a little wild down there? You know who it is, but still, you all do this. Your attention comes away from the Word of God and it goes right back to that door. Now, you can't see him in there, but you still look, as if somehow your glance back there is going to help quiet them. But you all do it. Whoop! I like to watch the parents as they have their children in the nursery and they begin to look one another and go, that's yours. Now folks, that's a distraction. We're not focusing on the worship. We're listening to the little child having trouble in the nursery, and they will. That's why they're in there, because they can't handle being in here. So we have a nursery for them. But where it's located now, and part of the reason they get as wild as they do, is they're right on top of one another. Have you ever met a 2-year-old or a 3-year-old who is gracious, kind, understanding, and doesn't say, mine? If you have, and you know how to get them there, come see me, because I need to train mine that way. They are not naturally born that way. They're rather selfish. So one comes in and he takes the toy. The other one responds by ripping the chair out from underneath of them and watching them hit the floor. By the way, our nursery is filled with boys. It's not little girls who will sit in color all kind and sweet. It is boys who will punch and kick and do whatever has to be done. We need to move our nursery downstairs. We want to give them an adequate space for them and allow kids to be kids so that mom and dads can come and worship and learn and grow and be grounded in the truth of God's Word. Not only do we need to consider the moving of our nursery, but if we're going to do that, folks, and we're going to go downstairs, what that's going to require from us is a little bit of paint and a whole lot of carpet. Have you walked around and looked downstairs much lately? Anyone who works in the master clubs knows exactly what I am speaking of. I know this may be hard to see tonight, but when you look right here, you see that little red light? That is where the carpet is literally, folks, coming off the floor. It is a tripping hazard for anyone who is down there. In the same room that we run our master clubs, this is where, well, quite frankly, the carpet is just being peeled off. And it's frayed. And there's other parts, by the way, just like this, in the hallway where the carpet is literally coming off the floor. The glue is gone. There is nothing holding it down. And the rugs themselves are just flat out dry rotted.
I know that because that same carpet used to be in my office.
And I pulled it up with very little effort. And when I peeled it off, I could literally just brush and clean the floor, and it looked like brand new plywood under there. That's not normal when you go ripping up carpet, but it is when the carpet's gone. And that's what we have downstairs. And if we're going to have children down there, and by the way, we do have children down there for Sunday school, for master clubs, we really need to take the time to paint and carpet. If you walk around and you look at the walls, and I'm going to encourage you to do so, you're going to find holes in the walls. You're going to find places where the screws, having gone into the hole, the drywall, they have popped, and now there's a big old hole there in the wall. You can see where we've had days where we have moved things, and we might be moving a table or something, and someone wasn't watching, and they stuck the end of that table right through the drywall. It's down there on the walls. It's time to repair the walls. It's time to give it some fresh paint. It's time for it to have new carpet down there. That means it's going to take us giving some time and energy. If you have the ability to do some painting and preparing that for us, that we could have it one day carpeted. Again, if you haven't taken the time to walk downstairs, I would encourage you to walk around and have a critical eye and look and see what is there. By the way, when it comes to the carpet, I was so thankful last week that we had a men's breakfast. And I'm thankful that Brother Ken and Pastor Silver and Brother Randy cooked bacon. Because when you cook bacon in our kitchen, it permeates the whole downstairs. And it lasts for a while. And that was good. It really was. And I was thankful we had a birthday yesterday, and the place smelled like chili today. You know why? Because it beats the dirty diaper smell that we've had down there for the last month. When we come out of winter into spring, because those carpets are so old, and because of all that is within those carpets and it's time for them to replace, it literally smells like a dirty diaper. I gotta be honest with you folks. If you weren't from here, and you were bringing your child here, how happy would you be with that? Honestly, I wouldn't be all that happy. Now, the first week, I might think, woo, some little guy, woo. But when it's there 2 and 3 weeks in a row, you kind of realize it's not some little dude running through. It's a problem within our carpet. By the way, we had that same problem in school. Remember that? You'd walk into the school and go, oh, what is that? It was not a pleasant smell. You realize when you walk into the school right now, you don't get that anymore. The old carpet's been removed. The bathroom is gutted and redone, in the boys' room especially. And now you walk in there and you don't have that same problem and that same smell. And it's time to do that downstairs. Because, folks, I don't want those things to be what distracts people. And it does distract you. Whether you believe it or not, it really does. It's time for us to now to paint and remove the carpet downstairs. We also want to go ahead up here and do a little work. I think it's time for us to put two projectors that will allow us to show on either wall the exact same thing, so we don't have to quit fighting over who gets the projector this week. Every week, Matthew tells me, do you know how many more weeks you have on that side? Yes, I know. I have one more week on this side. So next week, and then we get to switch back here. It would be a whole lot easier, folks, if they were just mirrored on each wall. And it can be done. And it needs to be done. Because many of you come to me and say, Pastor, I really enjoy the use of the PowerPoint. It's very helpful for me. And I have no problem taking the time to do those. But I really think everyone ought to benefit from them all the time. Instead of really just benefiting from it about 50% of the time, because I didn't see it so clear on this side because it was over there this week, it was over here. And most people have a pattern just sitting in the same spot. So you guys don't all switch and go over to the other side. You stay where you are. It's time to put the two projectors in so that we can see. I think there's also time, and you're allowed to say amen to this one, by the way. Okay? You can hoot and holler if you want, because I think this was an important one. I really think it's time for hymnals. I'll be honest with you. You can be louder with that one, honestly. Because the hymnals that we have, although they might be in some really good shape, they are a terrible hymnal to sing out. Okay? Because they're in a key that most of us cannot reach. Okay? If you're a guy, unless you're Bob Crane and Weston, you are not hitting those notes. You just aren't. And the selection of songs is rather poor within that hymnal. And I really think it's time for us to go ahead and replace the ones that we have with some better hymnals that will allow us to really enjoy our time of singing and worship of the Lord. So let me take a few moments now and break everything down for you a little bit so that you can begin to see what the needs really are. And we're going to run through this quickly tonight. I want you to consider just two basic thoughts. One, I want you to understand the schedule, and one, I want you to see the cost tonight. My desire, my goal in all of this is that we would take this next step and have it accomplished really by the end of the coming summer. So the siding would be done, we would begin to move on downstairs and get the painting done so that we can have a company come in and lay the carpet and everything be ready for the fall. There's various reasons for that, and I'm going to share that with you at a later time. But I really think that should be our goal and ought to be our desire to be able to accomplish some of these things. So let's talk just for a few moments, if we can tonight, about some of the cost and what it would take. The siding for the school building, some estimates have been given to us. There's a couple different scenarios. The school siding is going to cost us somewhere between $7,000 and $12,000 to have that building redone. That is pretty, I think it's a pretty fair and comfortable estimation based on what we've received. We may be able to get some other quotes and find that differently, but that's about what it's going to cost us in order to take care of that, and that's a need that has to be met. Otherwise, we're going to have larger bills coming for our facility that we don't need to have. In order to take care of the carpet downstairs, we have an estimate that has come in, and all the estimates that we had from the previous time, again, we had, when we had the carpet guys come in, they broke down each section of the church and the school, and I walked them around and said, quote me on this section, quote me on that section, to do the downstairs portion of the building here and all the classrooms that are there, it's going to cost us about $9,500. I'll remind you that to do the entire facility with carpeting was about $26,000 to $30,000. That is a lot of space downstairs. And it's a lot of carpet and it's a lot of work. And about $9,500 for it to be done. For the projectors, we're able to purchase each projector for about $900. The two projectors that we would get, and by the way, I wouldn't just purchase another one of these. This one is designed, and the purpose was that we would be able to use this. We bought the cart and all that in mind, so that when we got to this stage and we permanently put in our projectors, we would be able to have one that would be able to be used for our youth ministry, one to be used within our school ministry, that it would have the ability to be transported. This was the first step, and I think it was the right way to go. But this projector in this building and in this room with the light, we really need it to be much brighter. This one runs about 2,500 lumens. We really need at least 4,000 lumens for brightness sake, because we have a lot of light that's in here. Both of those projectors with the higher lumens come to us at about $900 each, and it comes with the mount that it could be placed into the ceiling. It's then going to cost us about $1,200 or so for wiring and installation, depending on who does the installations for us, but that's an idea of the cost. The hymnals are going to cost us right about $3,000 if we just take the ones that we have and replace them. Each hymnal is about $14 U.S. And for us to replace the hymnals that we have, I believe when we moved all of these hymnals out at Christmas time and used the old hymnals, we had about 200 hymnals of the hymn books in front of us. So it's roughly about $3,000. Again, because of the condition of our hymnals, I really think we could sell what we have for about $5, $6, $7 each. And there may be a church that's looking for that kind of a bargain. We'll be happy to sell them to them. But then that would help recoup some of our costs. There's some other suggestions as to how we could do that as well. Maybe some wanting to buy their hymnals for their family, so to speak, and gift that to the church. There's so many different things that we could do. There's going to be needs for within the nursery. If we move the nursery with things that are needed, some of our ladies have talked about the reality that they could set up a registry for the nursery and people could go through and pick out different items that the nursery needs, and the church people could just buy those things and donate that to the church as a gift that would help us in the overall cost in some of those things. But that's the basic idea as the overall breakdown of those projects as we see them. Now, with all that said and done, you may be wondering, Pastor, what's the overall plan? How are we going to go about this? Well, the answer to that is this. I would like to take the time next Sunday and have for you that detailed plan. And after our youth service next Sunday, I really need to have a business meeting with you as a church. And this isn't the primary reason. There are some other things I need to be able to share with you next Sunday night as a congregation, and so I need to call that business meeting so that you know that we're having that. But at the same time, I like to be able to use that as well to be able to give you some detail that you can begin now with the information that you've been given to begin to think through and pray with us about that, because folks, we need to get moving again in our CIP. Why? Because I want our facilities to be used for the glory of God and all things done decently and in order. I believe God has led us to do these things. I believe they're necessary. I don't think any of it is trying to be ornate or over the top. I think it's basic. When carpet comes off the floor, you need to replace it. The problem is, it's a lot of carpet down there, so it costs a lot. If we're replacing the carpet and there's holes in the wall, this is the right time to paint. I don't want to paint after we put new carpet down. I'd rather paint now. That just makes logical sense. The things for the projectors and other things, they're needed. We understand the benefit of them. And I think we can look at that and see the overall cost for them. I really don't think we have a choice on the siding. It really, folks, just needs to be done. We're going ahead and we'll share that with you in, again, more detail next Sunday night after our service. I know that we just had our quarterly business meeting, but there's a few other things that have come up that I need to be able to share with you next week, and I don't want to share them tonight because we have our time of fellowship and it's 1:30. So let's go ahead and close our time in a word of prayer, and then we'll be dismissed for our time of fellowship tonight. Let's pray.